Hello, everyone. This is Eugene Starks, NAHU president. Welcome to The Jump Off, where we take a big leap into everything leadership and NAHU.
Well, welcome back to another installment of the Jump Off podcast with our president, Eugene Starks, and our very special guest this time, our vice president, Eric Kohlsdorf. And I guess I'll start this by saying that the two of you have something in common, which is you were both crazy enough to run for NAHU president. So, Eugene, why don't you introduce our guest a little more properly?
Eric and I have been working together, Eric, over 10 years, I think, through NAHU. Eric and I both served on the HUPAC board and both served as the chair of the HUPAC board. On that board, he did follow me. I was the chairman 1 year and Eric followed me the next year. So we're honored to have Eric on. He's one of the NAHU members that I've worked with the most closely over a long period of time on some very crucial missions for NAHU. So welcome to the podcast, Eric. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, and thanks for having me on. Looking forward to our little discussion. It's been about 10 years. I think we both joined the HUPAC board in 2010, 2011, maybe representing our respective regions, 5 and 4.
Right.
So, yeah, it's been quite a run.
It has been. So what possessed you after being HUPAC chair to run for NAHU secretary, knowing that, you know, one day that would mean you'd be president, unless you got impeached, of course.
Yeah, or assassinated, one of the two. Yeah, so that's an interesting question. I led at the local and state level here in Iowa, and then, you know, moved up, I guess, into regional positions, and then was fortunate. I had many mentors along the way, and Jim Stanger asked me to chair HUPAC at that point. But HUPAC was my intro to national NAHU things. And then along that route, I met a lot of people from across the country. And when my time, I guess, was up on HUPAC nationally, I was approached and talked to by a number of people, you know, saying that I should step up and run for something at the national NAHU level versus just HUPAC. So me being the either fool or crazy person, decided that I would take the next step and see if I could make an impact on NAHU's board.
And you have been. You have been. Emma, I know you had a number of things you were talking to me about wanting to ask Eric.
So, Eric, can you talk to us a little bit about your involvement in HUPAC? Because I think some of us, especially those of us that are just starting to climb up the committee ranks a little bit, know you best for your work at HUPAC. Of course, we know that you're in line to become one of our future leaders now, but we hear a lot about the work that you did while you were involved at HUPAC. I think you even broke a few records here and there. Can you tell us why it was so important for you to really hustle on that?
Yeah, sure. It was an interesting first step at the national level when I joined the HUPAC board as the Region 4 representative. Well, let me back up, I guess, a little bit. When I was in the state and I was on the state board as the president here in Iowa, we did a lot of reorganization. And through the reorganization in Iowa, I saw how we could make ourselves here locally and in the state of Iowa better and run smoother and do a better job. So when I got onto HUPAC, that was kind of fresh in my mind. And I saw how HUPAC was running, and there seemed to be a lot of voids between the HUPAC board as well as HUPAC contributors across the country and what we did for HUPAC and for the ultimate goal of NAHU. So one of the things when I was serving with Eugene is we looked at the organization of HUPAC to see how we could get the word out of what we're trying to accomplish with PAC donations. One, how it is involved with the NAHU legislative mission. Two, and I worked very closely with David Mordo on that when we were both kind of up in the leadership roles. But the messaging was the important thing, because I believe a lot of the NAHU members thought that HUPAC was just a shakedown. All they want is my money so they can give it to Congress people or candidates in Washington, D.C., and that's totally not what it's all about. Now, it is about giving, and it is about the need for money in politics, but it's also to get our name in front of politicians to help them that are behind us and involved in healthcare legislation across the country to listen to what we have to say. So that really, I think, got me all in at the national level on the HUPAC side. And then during our tenure, Eugene and my tenure, we decided to try and change it, obviously, from a shakedown of money to this is where it's going. It's on both sides of the aisle, Democrat, Republican, and even independent if they're behind us. So we're nonpartisan on that front. And there are a lot of people who think we're one side or the other. We're for healthcare financing initiatives nationally and to help healthcare, move forward in America in the right way versus the wrong way. So it's non-political. It's something that involves all of us nationally.
Yeah, well, Eric's, he's not really bragging. So the year I was HUPAC chair, we set new fundraising records. And we really think it was driven certainly by our messaging, but we did some detailed work to reorganize and restructure to create more collaboration and more synergy with HUPAC and between HUPAC and NAHU. So, he's not saying this, but then the next year he crushed my goal.
Well, that was
simple. Okay, gotcha. Well, it was simple because we went through the tedious process of reorganizing and restructuring the messaging. So we took a lot from that process and we carried it into our roles serving on the NAHU board.
To be fully transparent, after I left the next year, Steve Selinsky, I think, was either breaking my record or close to it. And then Kathy Cooper joined as the chair and broke the records again. And I think that goes back to the foundation of the change. And that is where we get the foundation and it grows from there and it's worked.
Well, Eric, if you don't mind my asking, and either one of you, I suppose, could answer this. You said that part of growing that fundraising strategy was letting people know where their dollars are going. How can we, even after that fact, give people some success reports for what those dollars actually achieved? Is there a way that members who donate to HUPAC right now can see what their money successfully did?
That was also a key component to the reorganization, so to speak, of HUPAC, is to show that we are successful. A lot of people give to HUPAC and think that the legislation that's maybe bad or not as positive is stopped, one, or reversed, and I use the ACA as one thing. There were a lot of members who said, we've got to get rid of it. And by giving to HUPAC, they expected that to be done. But what we all have to remember is that there are a lot of bills that are introduced in Washington, D.C., and our contributions and therefore donations to candidates have stopped a lot of bad legislation from moving forward. And it goes on today. So it's not just a wholesale change in Washington, D.C. and healthcare financing, but it's incremental. It's stopping bad things and pushing for positive things in an incremental basis. And again, back to your question, Emma, I know HUPAC has put together marketing pieces on a lot of these things that we have impacted over the years, and it continually gets updated every year.
So yes, anybody that's a member of HUPAC can see how their dollars have been distributed, and we really keep a scorecard of, if you will, tragedies avoided or, mitigating some of the things like healthcare cost transparency or balanced billing. We wanted to avoid arbitration, but we weren't able to avoid it altogether. But ultimately, they chose to use the method of determining the value as the method we put forward, which is the median pricing that the providers are receiving based on all the discounts, which is where we wanted to be without arbitration. But that's still the key metric being used. So that's an example of our HUPAC dollars being applied, giving us the access to have the conversations. And it had a real impact on the policy that's going to impact how we serve our clients every day.
That's great information. I don't know that all of us really understand how impactful those dollars are when we're donating them. And even if some of our members can make small donations over a month, I know mine have added up and have really made me feel like I've made a difference for sure. That's why we talk about NEHU being the foundational organization for incoming producers and consultants and benefit advisors, because this is the stuff that's ultimately going to change things systemically, right? For everybody Correct. Involved.
Absolutely.
Well, look, that's exciting stuff. But what I really appreciate about what Eric is doing on the board is he has this penchant, this drive to look at how operations are running and how can we change them. So a lot of things we learned, you know, at the local, regional, and HUPAC levels, Eric is bringing those to the NAHU board. So Eric, why don't you tell them a little bit about what you've helped lead, the initiative you've helped lead the board through with regard to our committee organizations.
Yeah, sure. One of the things that I did notice once I was elected to secretary on the NAHU board, and just in being on regional professional development and on HUPAC certainly, is that a lot of our committees work in silos. And there's just not an understanding, I guess, from the membership side and from those committees on what's going on with everyone else. And so I'm a firm believer, and I always think that you've got to understand the total mission of the organization from whatever position you're holding, whether it's on a committee, whether it's just a member at large in a state across the country or a local, to understand what we're trying to accomplish nationally and how we're accomplishing that stuff. But the siloed approach where we've got siloed committees as well as locals, maybe siloed in their own little market versus a state versus a region, et cetera. What the whole idea behind the restructuring is that everybody understands where we're coming from, what we're trying to accomplish, and that goes up and down and throughout the organization. Once people understand where we're at nationally and what we're trying to accomplish for their professional growth and development, either as a producer or as a company representative or whatever, that we're trying to sustain and continue to change and evolve the healthcare arena across the country. And there's certainly a lot of problems with it, right? And there's a lot of solutions. So that's one of the reasons we wanted to break down these silos and align the committee structure. And ultimately, we'll try and look at locals and states, aligning them in a more vertical position so that individuals know where they stand and where they can go and how they can grow throughout the organization, one, and also how the organization is helping them.
So, Eric, in the work that you've done and your team's done under Goal 7, you've given us a new committee structure. It looks to me like you've aligned those committee structures so that related committees really form a super team, if you will, for collaboration and synergy. Lay out for us just briefly how you've got us kind of organized by mission under NAHU.
Sure. So one of the things when I look at membership and why somebody becomes a member, you'll have a lot of different reasons behind that. But most of the time, it's around becoming a better professional. It's legislative advocacy, and it's getting to know other people in the profession. So we tried to restructure all of these committees under those three concepts, being a membership-driven organization where members can meet other members and they can learn what they're doing and how they're solving problems. Another being legislative advocacy, where we're certainly impacting laws, not just in Washington, D.C., but at the state level. And then professional and personal development, creating a better member, a more professional member, which ultimately will help them gain clients, one, but certainly also find new leaders within NAHU. And Emma was obviously instrumental in the Leadership Academy that we've implemented just over the last, you know, year, designed and implemented. And I'm certain that members will start taking that up in massive amounts, and they should if they aren't, so that they can become leaders, not just leaders at NAHU level, but leaders in anything that they're doing. They'll become better professionals. They'll become leaders in their circles back home. And certainly if they wanted to step into a leadership role within NAHU, they'll have that ability too.
So, Eric, I'm curious about your campaign, and let's just address the elephant in the room. Some people might remember that I did not endorse you as secretary when you were running back in San Diego. Now, I happen to believe that any candidate that steps forward is trying to do the right thing for our association is worth endorsing. So apologies, I wasn't initially on your team, but you've done such a fantastic job of bringing a lot of us together and embracing some more innovative insurance strategies along the way that you've been involved in. So I guess what I'd really like to know is, how do other people follow that path, the campaign path? Because it must have been sort of nerve-wracking, right? What if you didn't win? What if you lose? Was that a deterrent at all for you to go for this?
Well, that's a good question. And one, you're forgiven for not supporting me. But the campaign part was nerve-wracking simply because you're out there. You're talking to people and you don't know what all the issues are. Certainly you're somewhat aware of all the issues, but being from Iowa, you know, I'm astutely involved and understand what's going on in the Iowa market, but I might not know what's going on in the Mississippi market or the Oregon market. So calling and visiting other chapters and leaders and regions, you hear a lot of different things. But one of the things that I did find out, and certainly is on the minds of everyone, is that we need to be involved and at the table on how healthcare is designed in America going forward. And in my speech in San Diego, I did mention that. You know, we have an association of 14,000 members and then all of their staff in their offices. But we are people that deal with the ultimate consumer, individual seeking services, the companies from birth to Medicare eligibility. And we're the best suited to figure out a solution to our process and our healthcare system. And so I think that drove me a lot. And I thought when I was campaigning that that would certainly play well with the membership, you know, regardless of who I was running against. And Karen's a good person. Obviously, she stepped up to run against me, you know, and it would have been nice had she not. But it was also nice that she did, because I got to travel around and meet a lot of people and hear a lot of stories. So it was a great, great experience. And I would highly recommend others to do it.
Well, I'm not sure if I have the stomach for running for office. I don't take rejection very well, in all transparency. So kudos to you. Eugene went through the same process. And, you know, I'm really proud of both of you. And Kelly, I know, sits right in the middle. You guys have collaborated so much. And, you know, I talk a lot in Leadership Academy about succession planning. And I think what you guys are doing now, looking so far into the future, is exactly what that is intended to be. I have one final question for both of you. So Eric, I want you to answer, and then we'll see what Eugene says. But you've made it to president, or Eric, almost. Are you going to run for like Washington, D.C. office next? Or what comes after being the president of NAHU?
So you want me to start with that, huh? You know, I don't know. I suppose I'll be past president. And from there, I'll stay involved, certainly. I'll do whatever I can for NAHU. Wherever I'm asked or needed, I will certainly step up and continue to step up. A lot of people don't know that I already did run for state house in Iowa. So I was trying the state legislature. I don't see the cards of me being at the national level, but those cards haven't been dealt yet. So we'll still shuffle that around. I'll let Eugene, since he's closer, what do you got planned?
I've toyed with running for Congress, actually. There's a rather weak representative in one of our districts in Mississippi. I've thought about running for insurance commissioner at the state level. I haven't done enough to vet it, you know, thoroughly to see if I really have the guts to do it. But one thing I'm going to do is I'm going to stay involved. So whether it's I run for an office or something like that, or if I just go back to working at the state and local level, because we built a wealth of knowledge and understanding about how NAHU operates, not just, you know, certainly nationally, but we've gained so many insights because of our collaboration with people around the country. There's a lot still to be shared. And I think if all of us who are leaders at the national level will go back and continue to cycle that knowledge back at our local and state levels, I think we're basically raising the tide for all the boats.
Well, I hope you guys continue to stay involved one way or another. I think you're incredibly brave to consider running for any office, let alone Congress, Eugene. My goodness, it gives me palpitations just thinking about it. You guys, you're such respected leaders in our space. Eric, you are a fantastic interviewee on our podcast today. Eugene, would you like to sign us off until next time?
Well, thank you, Emma, because you've done so much to help lead NAHU chapter leadership development and really innovate and change it. And Eric, I don't know if you want to add anything before I sign us off.
I was going to say one thing. If you do run for Congress, I'll contribute to the campaign.
You think we can get any money from UPAC? You think we get any money from UPAC for that? We'll work on it.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, we've got a lot of work to do leading NAHU. So we'll sign off of this, but we'll all be collaborating immensely as we continue to lead through this year. Thank you.